Hello everyone, my name is David Wilkinson. I teach at the University of Durham in England. It's a great privilege to be here and to report on a piece of work really done by my colleague, Dr. Rebecca Bouvang, who can't be here, but I've been the help along the way and so know a little bit about it. We wanted to do a piece of work under the Templeton program, Equipping Church Leaders in an Age of Science, really to do a pilot study, first of all, on what formed attitudes towards science amongst Christian leaders in the UK. Because we felt that there was a great deal of resources and conferences being put on for clergy without a clear idea of actually what formed both opportunities and challenges in their attitude towards the dialogue of science and faith. And we decided, therefore, to follow a conjecture that the influence of senior leaders within a denomination or within a culture within the church had a very powerful effect upon that denomination, both in training, in the importance of the subject, amongst the general conversation that goes on in clergy, and perhaps more importantly, in terms of attitudes of fear or confidence towards science. We've already talked in this session already a couple of times about Elaine Eklund's work, and amongst the many very interesting things in 2010 that her work exposed and indeed has continued to expose is that sense of the background culture rather than the arguments themselves, how it forms. In fact, for the majority of scientists, she writes, I interviewed, it's not the engagement with science itself that leads them away from religion. Rather, their reasons for unbelief mirror the circumstances in which other Americans find themselves. They were not raised in a religious home. They've not had bad experiences with religion. They disapprove of God or see God as too changeable. We wanted to do a project that asked the same for church clergy. And so this is our initial project. It's very small. It's very provisional. And this is what we've got out of it. We interviewed a number of senior church leaders, and what I mean by that are bishops or leaders of parachurch organizations, national Christian organizations that are particularly influential with young people. 30 senior leaders were approached, 15 accepted, and there was one cancellation. It was interesting in that initial process what came out of it. The majority of those who rejected the opportunity to have a conversation about science and faith simply said they were too busy. That in itself is interesting. It shows a little bit of not just overfull diaries, but this may not be the most important thing on their agendas at the time. One person said that he didn't want to be interviewed, even though it was anonymous, even though it was an academic survey, because, I quote, he didn't know enough about the subject and was afraid that his answers might then lessen his authority in ministry. Another bishop said that he would be interviewed as long as he had two advisors with him to help him on what the right answers should be. Now, that question about authority, which I think Deb had in a sense of the clergy stuff that you were talking about yesterday, is a theme that comes back and back again through all of the work that we did. Inevitably, because of the British scene, the senior church leaders broke down into 13 male and one female. That's simply because that's the type of sample that we've got. 7 Anglican bishops, 1 senior charismatic and parachurch leader, 2 senior Methodists, 2 senior Pentecostals, and 2 senior evangelical parachurch movements. So let me give you the summary slide, and then if you want to, you can leave, because these were the findings, which I'm just going to take 12 minutes to pull out. Initial results. First, science seen as positive across all of the interviews, and a real interest in cutting-edge science amongst senior church leaders, and the hunger to engage with those kind of questions. Second, a distinction in their minds between what they called good science and bad science. I'll explain what that is in a moment, but if you've read Eklund's recent work, she makes a similar distinction for scientists between good religion and bad religion. Third, rejection of the conflict model of science and religion and fundamentalism, creationism, atheistic science, but I want to do it privately. I don't want to do it publicly. And negative impact of the conflict model in scientism. The key question for many of these church leaders for engagement or collaboration was around the question, what does it mean to be human? Not cosmology, but what does it mean to be human? And fifth, we identified what we are calling an avoidance strategy, which is based around independence and the how and why distinction. That if we tried to tease out, these were long structured interviews, some of the more difficult questions about the engagement of science and religion. What does evolution say about the human person or the fall? There was an immediate retreat into, well, science is about the how and religion is about the why. And we saw that as an avoidance strategy not to get involved in the difficult questions. So very briefly, very positive about science privately. I'm a person who rejoices so much that science produces, particularly medical science, particularly technology. There was a focus on that. But overall, amongst these senior leaders, very positive. Good science and bad science was a distinction that they made verbally. And that was around the science embodied in Richard Dawkins and others, bad science, and what they perceived to be more humble and open science. The two bad science was talked about as fundamentalist, ideological, driven by economic imperatives, intellectually arrogant, doesn't recognize its own limits, materialistic and reductionist, wooden hand of easy empiricism, defined in opposition to faith. The science that excited them, that they wanted to talk about, good science, humble, provisionality, open inquiry and wonderment, open to unanswerable questions, driven by childlike curiosity and wonder, resonates with theology. Science and religion, the conflict model, irritating to many of them. That's British, of course, for outraged. like acid rain, wearing away the confidence of Christians. And interestingly, one Anglican bishop said, what I sense with quite a lot of our clergy is that they're rather frightened of the subject because of the Dawkins antagonism. They feel they're retreading very dangerous territory, that they'll shown up for not knowing enough about it. They think they're expert. He's talking about his clergy actually means himself. I've said the key question is around what it means to be human and the fear of Dawkins. And one of the reasons why we picked senior leaders is in the British context, when the media are interested about science and religion, it's bishops and these senior leaders who are often interviewed on the BBC or in the newspapers. And we felt that the retreat into independence and how and why as an avoidance strategy was not only worry about alienating certain folk in their own clergy groups and congregations, but also the fear of the impact of new atheism upon them. Thank you.
We have 5 minutes for questions.
Yes, sir.
Can you put us into a context in terms of what the public in Britain feels, given the American context? I have a sense that the British public is quite different than the American.
Yes, it is. Of course, Protestant evangelicalism is not as important or influential. And so the statistics that we've seen this afternoon about how many people doubt in evolution would be much, much less in the British context. And there are some similarities regionally. So we're much more such as the Northeast in this country in terms of attitudes, but there's widespread secularism, which is the context against this. Yes, sir.
Why on that slide is that you call the how-why distinction as an avoidance distinction, or is that, I would think, might be illegitimate?
I think it is a legitimate distinction. I mean, it's one of Barbara's ways of describing it. But we felt that as we pushed at the scientific implications for theology, there was a repeated pattern of going back to a how-why distinction to avoid the more detailed theological probing that we were wanting to do. And so it's our interpretation of the questioning that we undertook. In one sense, it is a legitimate place to take, but you have to then contrast it with the initial questions, which were about, is science important for theology? To which it was, yes, it's very, very important. I really am into science. I'm really positive about it. But when we get to the more difficult questions, either publicly or privately, it becomes an avoidance strategy. Yes, sir. Particularly in evolution. So there would be a great deal of positivity about evolution as a concept, but start to ask some of the theological questions about what that means then. Where do humans come in the evolutionary progression? What about the fall? What does this mean about Romans 5? That's where we don't want to get in. But also, if we are going to talk about apologetics and what's the value of science in apologetics, the how-why distinction is there as well. Yes, sir?
I just wonder whether that angle on the how-why thing as sort of trying to almost separate science from religion, not allow science to have an impact upon religion, is related to a sort of separation of physics from metaphysics that goes back possibly to Descartes. There's a sort of an attempt, I know within my tradition, the Catholic tradition is quite a strong sense that we want to keep the metaphysics as it's been in the second millennium and not allow new discoveries within science to affect metaphysics. But I mean, that, although before modern science, that was how we did it. We observed the world, and that's how we built our metaphysics, and that's how Aristotle did it. But there is quite a reticence about allowing
I think that's certainly part of it. I think the other issue is for guardians of the tradition, those who see themselves as the ones who guard the tradition as bishops do, then giving too much away in terms of the theological speculation also means that you make that distinction. Right at the back. Yes. This was partly, I think, their own background and interest, but it was partly the type of questions that they're asked often in the media. Assisted dying, genetic engineering. The questions where a bishop is brought into a moral context, where science is seen to have moral implications, and has to give the church's view on it. Rarely are they brought in to give the church's view on cosmology in the British scene.
I'm going to call time, I'm afraid, ladies and gentlemen, so that Chris Rios has enough time. David, thank you very much for that. Mm-hmm.